All right, we'll go on in the, so those are just some observations up front, okay? Now we're going to get into the details. Verse 23, he was in Sheol, the rich man. The rich man was in Sheol, and his pain was very great. He lifted his eyes and saw Abraham at a distance and Lazar in his lap. So the rich man dies, and he goes down into Sheol. In Sheol, he lifts up his eyes. The Greek says Hades, which might, as we learned, might represent either Sheol or the compartment of Sheol called Gehenna. Dalich chose Sheol in this instance, but in either case, since we learned that Gehenna is a part of Sheol, we can be confident we are talking about Gehenna. The rich man is in Gehenna. There's no question about what part of Sheol he is in. And as we saw in the Talmud, the words can be used interchangeably. Sheol is considered one of Gehenna's seven names. All right, it says, he was in Sheol, his pain was very great. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham at a distance, Lazar in his lap. Remember that in the days of the Master, the Pharisees taught about paradise, Gehenna, the existence of the soul, the resurrection of the dead, but the Sadducees rejected all four of these notions, all four of these ideas. Now, so here's an idea. Maybe the rich man in Luke 16 is a Sadducee. If just think that way as we read the parable, because it sounds very, very much like the entire parable is a jab at the Sadducees. So he sends, he begs Abraham to send Lazarus, for example, to warn his five brothers of their error. And Abraham chides them and says, hey, they have the Torah and the prophets. They have the Torah and the prophets. Well, the Sadducees had the Torah and the prophets, right? So did the Pharisees, but their argument was about how they interpreted the Torah and the prophets in regard to the afterlife. The Pharisees used the Torah and the prophets to prove the afterlife, the existence of soul, final judgment. The Sadducees rejected their interpretations. And remember that one of the key texts that the Pharisees used to prove Gehenna in the Torah and the prophets was Isaiah 66:24. They shall go forth and look upon those corpses who have transgressed against me. Their worm shall not die. Their fire shall not be quenched. And they shall be in abhorrence to all mankind. We saw that several times. And we could have looked at a lot more examples. The most often quoted text in the Bible in regard to Gehenna. So Yeshua alluded to the same Isaiah passage in his teachings about Gehenna. You're going to keep your finger right here. If you want to come with me, I'm going to go over to Mark 9. Remember, it's the Dalich, turn the other direction. But you'll find it on page 163, top of the middle of verse, top of the page, middle of the verse, page 163, verse 43. It says, it is better for you to enter life and be an amputee than to have two hands and go into Gehinnom, into the fire that is not extinguished, where their worm does not die and their fire is not extinguished. Recognize the passage. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life and be lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into Gehinnom, to the fire that is not extinguished, where their worm does not die and their fire is not extinguished. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God having one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into Gehinnom, where their worm does not die and their fire is not extinguished. For everyone will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice salted with salt. So in this instance, notice that Dalich chose to translate Gehinnom, that is the Hebrew Gehenna, instead of going with Sheol. Why did he make that choice here? Whereas back in Luke 16, he said Sheol. Here, Dalich chooses Gehinnom. Why? Because the Greek itself makes the indication. The Greek text actually, in this case, preserves a transliteration of the Hebrew. It does not say Hades in the Greek. Here, it says Gina for Gehenna. The New American Standard and most English translations just ignore that. And they will translate it as hell. And they'll translate the other one as hell. It's all hell, you know. It's like, well, you never can tell. You might go to heaven, and you might go to hell. We used to sing that when we were kids. I brought you here to show you that just as the sages used Isaiah 66:24 in their description of Gehenna, so did our master. So remember, according to the passages we looked at, they used Isaiah 66:24 to prove that Gehenna and paradise are running parallel to each other, a handbreadth apart, and the souls on one side can see the souls on the other side. Souls on the other side can see the souls on the one side. Remember that? What's the distance between them? A handbreadth. They run parallel. One is visible to the other. And everybody and the sages all pointed to Isaiah 66:23. They shall go forth and look upon the bodies, right? Remember this one? Leviticus Rabbah, where it says, hence it is written, when the wicked ascend from Gehenna and see the righteous sitting peacefully in the Garden of Eden, they are ashamed. And what do? They gnash their teeth, as it says in Psalm 112:10. Our master alluded to teeth gnashing as well. Matthew 8:12, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 13:42, they will throw them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13, the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And one more. No, two more. Matthew 24:50. Says, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at that hour when he does not know, and he'll cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Finally, Matthew 25:30, throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm showing you these so you begin to see, begin to come to the conclusion that maybe the master was talking about the same thing as the rabbis. It's the same language. It's the same terminology. So at the time of the resurrection of the righteous, the souls still held in Gehenna will weep and gnash their teeth when they see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets and the righteous reclining at the table in the kingdom of God in Messianic Jerusalem. We learn that in Luke 13. The master says this. So Yeshua taught the same basic layout of paradise and Gehenna. What happens? The rich man in Hades lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham and Lazarus. How does he see Abraham and Lazarus? I thought he was in Gehenna. He's in Gehenna. It's only a handbreadth away. It's only a handbreadth away, and there's Abraham and Lazarus sitting in paradise. And he says, hey, you know, send Lazarus over here. And what does Abraham say? He says, well, I would if I could, but as you can see, there's this great chasm that is fixed between us so that no one can cross over from here to there, and no one can cross over from there to here. All right.